We're kind of at the start of a brand new year, 2011, and started a study several weeks ago called A Fresh Start in 2011. A Fresh Start in 2011. And last week we talked about making Him number one, making Him, God, creator and of heaven and earth, number one in our lives. That's got to be one of our main top New Year's resolutions, is to make God number one in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
You know, a lot of people in the world say, you know what, I'm looking out for number one. These are non-believers. They say, I'm looking out for number one. Who are they talking about? They're talking about themselves, right? Number one, me, myself, and I. But guess what? There's another being that wants to be number one, and that is God. The Word of God says in Exodus 20, verses 3 through 4, that God will take second place to none. I'm paraphrasing it. God says, you shall make no other gods before me. God will take second place to none. And how do you show God that you're passionate about Him? I'm kind of recapping last week's message. How do you show God that you are passionate about Him, that you love Him, that you care for Him?
Obedience.
Obedience, okay. By making His interests your interests. If you make God's interests your interests, it's telling God, God, I love you. God, I am passionate about you. And what is God interested in? What is one of the main things that God is interested in of you and me, for you and me? God is interested in holiness, that we be holy as He is holy. It's in Leviticus. Be therefore holy, as I, the Lord your God, am holy. So the way to show God that He is number one in your life, that you're passionate about Him, is by living a holy lifestyle, building an altar to God in every part of your human existence. Is that making sense? You know, showing God that you're striving with His strength to be holy with your body, with your mind, with your spirit, with every part of your being. All right. Today we're going to talk about the apple. The apple. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, I've said this before, that God has got something special for you to do on this earth. A special part that only you can fulfill. A special part in the kingdom of God that He has got just for you. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. You're not an accident going somewhere to happen. You're not a mistake. You know, there may have been people in your past as a child, as an adult, that have told you, you know what, you're an accident going somewhere to happen. You were just a mistake, but guess what? Those people were being inspired of the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. You are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are on this earth with a God-given plan, purpose, and destiny. God has got something very important, special, for you to do on this earth and in the body of Christ. And as I've said before, God has baby steps for you to take towards the bigger step, the bigger end, the bigger destiny that He has for your life. Now, maybe some of those baby steps might be getting an education toward becoming a nurse, getting an education in a technical field. Maybe some of the baby steps might be maybe taking courses for overcoming an addiction. Maybe one of the baby steps might be reconciling a relationship. Maybe one of the baby steps might be changes in a diet. Maybe a better exercise plan. But the thing is this, remember this, in order to take these baby steps towards the bigger step, the bigger end that God has for you, you have got to feel good about yourself. Let me say it again. In order to take these baby steps towards the bigger step that God has got for your life, you have got to feel good about yourself. You know, if you think that you'll never make it, if you think that you're an accident, if you feel that you're so low that you can do a push-up under a penny, then guess what? You'll never take those baby steps. You'll never have that self-esteem to go forward with the better thing that God has for your life. What does it say in Proverbs 23:7? As a man thinks within himself, so is he. As you think about yourself, the way you see yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. Remember, if you see yourself as a mistake, if you see yourself as having no purpose on this earth, if you see yourself as never being able to make it in life, that life has dealt you such a rough deck of cards, guess what? You will not be able to take those steps forward to the bigger and better thing that God has for you. You've got to feel good about yourself. You've got to see yourself in a positive light. You've got to see yourself as God sees you before you can do the bigger thing with your life that God has for you. Is that making sense? Remember this, you are the apple of God's eye. Now, Zechariah 2:8 says it very clearly. We'll back up to verse 7. Come, O Zion, escape you who live in the daughter of Babylon, for this is what the Lord Almighty says. After he has honored me and has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. He was speaking to the Jews thousands of years ago, but this word still applies to us today. Whoever touches you out there, friend, touches the apple of God's eye. Is that making sense? Whoever hurts you is hurting the apple of God's eye. What does it mean, the apple of God's eye? Someone who is very special and dear to God. Say it with me today. I am
the apple
of God's eye. Special and dear to the heart of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, what is the most expensive stone, the most valuable stone in this world? Out of all the semi-precious gems and precious gems, which is the most valuable? A diamond. That's right. And guess what, friend? Remember it today. You are a diamond in the eyes of God. Actually, you're worth more than all the diamonds and the gold and the silver in this world combined to God. That's great worth, isn't it? Remember that. You are a diamond to God. You are worth more than all the diamonds in this world combined to God. And you might be wondering today now, why am I the apple of God's eye? Why am I a diamond to God? Why is it that you have such great worth? And when you wake up in the morning, remember this, and you look at yourself in the mirror, just say, I am of great worth to God. I am of great worth to God. I am the apple of his eye. I am a diamond to God. Because what you speak over yourself repeatedly on a consistent basis, friend, you'll start believing about yourself. Now let's go back to that question. Why are you the apple of God's eye? One of the very main reasons, well, a main reason that's spoken of in Genesis 1. Why is it that you are so special to God, the apple of his eye? I'm going to talk about a couple of different reasons. That's right, created in his image. Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Let's read it. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that every single person in this room today, every single person listening, is created in the image of God. Every person from north to south, east to west, from China to India to Australia to the North Pole, is created in the image of God. Of all the 6 billion plus people in this world, each and every single one of them is created in God's image. Now, what does it mean for a person to be created in the image of God? What does it mean when you hear the terminology that I'm created in the image of God? What does that mean to you? Remember, you're created in the image of God. What it means to be created in the image of God means that part of God is on the inside of you. Part of God is on the inside of every single person listening to this message. In a spiritual sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and bone of his bone. In a figurative sense, you are flesh of God's flesh and bone of his bone. How many here have a child that they love? Maybe a brother or sister. Okay, let's say that sister, that child is in need. And you're separated. You can't help that person, that family member. But your blood runs through that person, through that sister, that brother, that child. You're not able to help them, but somebody else helps that child of yours, that family member. What does that do to your heart? It overjoys you, right? It just gives you such great satisfaction. It's as if they did it for you, right, when they touch that family member. Why? Because your blood runs through that person. Right? It's the same way with God. Since everybody's created in His image, when we touch somebody else with God's love, guess what? We are touching the heart of God Himself. When we touch you, when we serve you here at the mission, we're touching the heart of God Himself. It brings satisfaction to God. But guess what? If somebody hurts that family member of yours and turns away from them, turns their back on them, how does that make you feel on the inside? Makes you feel sad, right? Down, depressed. Because your blood runs through that person. It's the same way with God. Since everybody is created in the image of God, since you're created in the image of God and you are bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, figuratively, when somebody hurts you, they're hurting the heart of God. And remember this. There's somebody out there in greater need than you. If you touch that person with God's love, you are touching the heart of God. If you hurt that person, guess what? You're hurting the heart of God. Why are you the apple of God's eye? Why are you so special to God? Because you're created in His image. Now, who is the being of greatest worth in this universe? Jesus, good. God, right? Creator of heaven and earth. And if we're created in the image of the being of greatest worth in this universe, what does that mean about us? What does that say about us? If we're created in the image of the being who has greatest worth in the entire universe, what does it say about our worth? If we're created in His image, it says that we're of great worth, right? Because we're created in His image. Part of Him is on the inside of us. Is that making sense? All right. So that makes you of great worth because you're created in the image of the Almighty God. Amen? Say it with me today. I am created in the image of the Almighty God. That makes me of great worth. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Another reason you are of such great worth, another reason that you are the apple of God's eye is what? Another main reason, big reason. Probably the biggest reason of all. What is it? Okay. Anybody else? Because of the price that was paid for you. Now, how is the price of any item determined? By the price that was paid for it. Right? Would you agree? So if somebody goes out and buys a bicycle for $200, what is the worth of that bicycle? Why is that? Because that's what they paid for it. They paid $200 for that bicycle. If somebody goes out and buys a used car for $5,000, what is the worth of that car? $5,000. Why? Because $5,000 is what was paid for that car, right? If somebody goes out into a neighborhood and buys a house for $100,000, what is the worth of that house? $100,000. Why? Because $100,000 was given for that house. Is that making sense? So the price of any item is determined by the amount of dollars that was paid for it, or that the amount that was given for it. So how is your value, your worth, determined? By the what? Say it again. By
the price that was paid for.
By the price that was paid for you. Friend, what price was paid for you? The priceless blood of the Lamb, the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ, God the Son. The blood of Jesus was of infinite worth. Why did it take the blood of infinite worth to buy us back out of the kingdom of darkness? Why did it take the blood of infinite worth to buy us back out of the kingdom of darkness? Because you and I are of infinite worth in the sight of God. Is that making sense? It took the blood of infinite worth to buy us, to redeem us out of the kingdom of darkness, because you and I are valued at infinite worth. Amen? 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Say it with me today. My worth is determined by the price that was paid for me. The infinite blood of Jesus Christ. That blood is of infinite worth. Because I am of infinite worth. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. And friend, you got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. The Word is full of scriptures about how valuable you are to God. That you are the apple of God's eye. You've got to start seeing yourself as God sees you. God sees you as more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. God sees you as a person of potential. He sees you as a diamond. He sees you as a person who can do great things with his or her life. But you've got to start seeing yourself that way, like God sees you. So every morning when you wake up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am of infinite worth. I am valuable. I am a diamond. I am the apple of God's eye. Speak it over yourself. You're speaking those scriptures over yourself. Washing of the water of the Word. Speak it over yourself day after day after day, and you'll start believing it about yourself. Is that making sense? So if you start seeing yourself as God sees you, you'll start being able to take those baby steps towards the bigger thing that God has for your life. Is that making sense today? All right. Got this this email here. Where's it at? Thought I had it with me. Here it is. Okay. It's called Clay Balls. Clay Balls. Listen to this. A man was exploring caves by the seashore. In one of the caves, he found a canvas bag with a bunch of hardened clay balls. It was like someone had rolled clay balls and left them out in the sun to bake. They didn't look like much, but they intrigued the man, so he took the bag out of the cave with him. As he strolled along the beach, he would throw the clay balls one at a time out into the ocean as far as he could. He thought a little about it until he dropped one of the clay balls and it cracked open on a rock. Inside was a beautiful, precious stone. Excited, the man started breaking open the remaining clay balls. Each contained a similar treasure. He found thousands of dollars worth of jewels in the 20 or so clay balls he had left. Then it struck him. He had been on the beach a long time. He had thrown maybe 50 or 60 of the clay balls with their hidden treasure into the ocean waves. Instead of thousands of dollars in treasure, he could have taken home tens of thousands. But he had just thrown it away. It's like that with people. We look at someone, maybe even ourselves, and we see the external clay vessel. It doesn't look like much from the outside. It isn't always beautiful or sparkling, so we discount it. We see that person as less than important than someone more beautiful or stylish or well-known or wealthy. But we have not taken the time to find the treasure hidden inside that person. There is a treasure in each and every one of us. If we take the time to get to know that person, and if we ask God to show us that person the way He sees them, then the clay begins to peel away and the brilliant gem begins to shine forth. May we not come to the end of our lives and find out what we have thrown away of fortune and friendships because the gems were hidden in bits of clay. May we see people in our world as God sees them. I am so blessed by the gems of friendship I have with you. Thank you for looking beyond my clay vessel. Isn't that amazing? All of you are gems. All of you are diamonds, perhaps in the rough. There's potential on the inside of you. You know, how many here have heard of Ted Williams? He was a sensation, an internet sensation just a few weeks ago. He was from Ohio. He was homeless like you guys, standing on the side of the road with a sign begging for money so he can get the next meal. And he said on the sign that he had a golden voice. And let me tell you, this man had a golden voice, hidden potential in this man's mouth. And he got job offers from so many different big corporations. great potential on the inside of this man, Ted Williams. He's had some problems since then. I don't know if you followed up with it. But anyway, great potential. And every single one of you here today have got gifts, talents, abilities, and potential. Friends, something special that God has deposited on the inside of your life. Don't let it go to waste. What a shame to die never having fulfilled what God told you to fulfill. You've heard me say this before. The richest place in the world is where?
The graveyard.
Why? Because?
All
the unfilled potential in the graveyard. People that should have been nurses and doctors and business owners. People that should have written books that would advance the kingdom of God that never did. People that should have been radio announcers for God's kingdom that never did it. Why? They never filled their potential. And could it be that they never fulfilled their potential? Could it be that they never tapped into their gift, their ability, their talent, because they did not see themselves as God saw them? Friends, this is the word. This is the rich word of God. Start seeing yourself as God sees you. Because if you don't see yourself as God sees you, you'll never go anywhere with your life. You'll always be stuck right where you are at. What a shame to enter eternity one day and God say, "My son, my daughter, you never fulfilled what I asked you to fulfill. You can come on in, but you never fulfill the full potential of what I had for your life." I don't want to hear that one day. How about you? I want to hear God say to me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." How about you, friend? I don't want to be a graveyard statistic. How about you? I want to do exactly what God has called me to do. And so should you. You can go beyond where you are at today. Not only can you get your life together by seeing yourself as God sees you, but guess what? You can start stepping out of yourself once you see yourself as God sees you to help improve other people's lives beyond yourself. You can start making a difference in somebody else's life beyond yourself. That's taking eternal treasure into heaven with you one day, touching somebody else's life. We'll take only two things into eternity with us. What two things are those? We'll take two things into eternity.
Our souls and our minds.
Our relationship with Christ, our souls, and number two?
The
good we did for others while we were on this earth. Friends, you've got a date of birth, a birth certificate, and a date of death. Physical death. In between those two dates, there is a what? There is a dash. Between your date of birth and the date of death, there is a dash. You are living in the dash right now. Are you going to make the most of your dash? Or are you going to waste your dash? Make the most of your dash. Because guess what? Even if you live to be 80 or 90 years old on this earth, it doesn't compare to eternity. What we do on this earth determines the reward we get in eternity forever. What you do with your dash determines the rewards you get in eternity forever and ever. Is that making sense? Amen? All right. Start seeing yourself as God sees you and start reading the Word. Start speaking positive words over your life. Don't look at yourself in the morning, in the mirror, and say, "You know what, man, poor old me," and have a pity party all day. Don't look at yourself in the mirror all day and say, "Man, what a rough stack of cards life has dealt me. Nobody cares about me. Nobody calls me. Nobody writes me." Don't see yourself that way. I don't matter to this world. Do not say those things about yourself. Start saying, "I am the apple of God's eye. I am a diamond to God. I am of infinite worth to the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth." And speak it to yourself day after day after day. Amen?